tea, Heather. We're just here to spill it, folks.
It's very Leo.
It's Leo season. The kettle is a whistling. Mm-hmm. Okay, time to pour out a hot one. All right. Mm-hmm. We've got shit to say. I love the energy that Leo season is bringing.
Oh my God.
I'm really, really in love with it. Listeners, I hope you're loving this season as well. Yeah, with just what there's just so much, Heather. It's summer, it's Barbie. There's just things are literally igniting. Mm-hmm. I just, this energy is so raw.
It is. I know. August, it really is like a very energetic month. And more to come. I mean, yeah, there's this whole Venus is retrograding into the sun, which the astrologer Molly McCord says is the start of a new 8-year Venus cycle, which I'm like, I think the reason she's saying it is because every 8 years Venus retrogrades into the sun. The last 8 years ago, it did this in Leo, and it always every 8 years like backs up 2 degrees. But I'm like, that feels like kind of a reach, like a new 8-year cycle just because I don't know. But yeah. Lots of activity happening even this week and throughout August. We have 2 full moons in August. We have the Venus-Sun conjunction this week. Venus and Uranus are still squaring. And I'm feeling like there's a lot of big energy. Like with my friends and with just like acquaintances and like, I don't know, all of the people that I went to high school with are having babies like this month. Relationships are breaking up. People are getting together. It's like, fiery.
It's like we've reached a boiling point.
Yes, and Uranus square Venus really is that. It's like boiling point. It's like tension. Something's gotta give.
Yeah. Well, and because I know that like for every episode of this year, I'm sure Heather, and just I know that you and me have talked personally about this as well, that this whole year astrologically has been on like a low simmer. Mm. It feels like we're kind of in this midway or like halfway mark. Energy's really peaking. We're in a fiery season. And I just feel like we've gradually reached like a boiling point. It feels kind of like this whole year has like been a buildup, energetically speaking. And it's so, this time has also just been, I'm sure it's my TikTok. I'm sure it's like the things I'm looking at, and that's what my social media obviously is catering to. But I do feel like there's just more and more up leveling across the board, astrologically, spiritually, energetically. Like we've touched on the aliens.
I know we've touched on the aliens,
but that shit's wild. The timing of it. With everything that's kind of going on energetically, wild. Also, the shit that's going on in the sea.
Oh my God, I know. Combined wild. With the strikes, like I think the strikes are big. That's more earthy, I think, than like the aliens and the shit with the sea. But that to me is so Pluto in Capricorn on the threshold of entering Aquarius and the entertainment industry.
And I think this is only going to be,
just the entertainment industry being this like flashy, but yet very Aquarius Pisces sort of industry. I don't know, bringing more humanitarianness into all of that.
Yes. I think we're going to see it spill over. It's always so, with the recent strikes, with the writer's strike and what you were talking about, Heather, I was thinking about the last time this happened, which I think was like 2008 was like the last big writer's strike. And I like remember Conan like being on the air and just like I think twirling like a coin or doing something. Like it was like that. It's like his show went on the air and he just sat there like because he was saying like, he was for the strike as well.
That is so badass.
And just sat there on his show. Like, I don't think he was really talking or telling jokes. He was just, like, twiddling. Like, and that was, like, the bit was, like, because I think a lot of people were, this was, like, and again, this wasn't that long ago. I could totally have that date
wrong. Well, I love that you said
Alex
that because,
oh, yes, go ahead.
That's around the time that Pluto was going from Sagittarius into Capricorn. So that was another like period. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was 2008 exactly, but I want to say it was definitely the end of the 2000s when Pluto was on the threshold of Sag to Capricorn. And there's always like huge major shifts when that happens.
I'm going to double check just because like I want to be certain, but regardless, like it just like the last time this happened, I feel like there were a lot of things still not quite in movement yet. When the Me Too movement happened, that was something that did start from like the top down in a way that we've like never fucking seen before. That was a movement that the world watched, the entertainment industry, you know, it started really with the entertainment industry and these huge beloved people. And it was like, let's fucking talk about it though. Let's blow this fucking whistle on this. It was one of the movements that I really feel like started from the top down in a way that now has trickled into everything. Like Me Too is still something that is happening. Like someone, you know, and you like you'll hear it like, oh, they got Me Too'd. Like it's like it's still something that just because we're not in that movement right now, that shit is still applying. Yeah. And it was a movement that we saw that like it trickled into every industry, not just the entertainment. I think we're going to watch the same shit happen. We just got off this peak pandemic and like COVID. We're not really fucking out of it if we're being honest with ourselves, but we are. Society has decided. The government has decided. And I think, you know, there were conversations about the way we work in this fucking country and how we do things and how backwards and wrong and just silly it is. And the way COVID really kind of also proved
now
that.
Now so many
that,
jobs oh, are remote. Yeah, it really has been a shift.
Yes. But then also, I feel like there was a part of me that was kind of feeling a little sad the other day because I'm like, there was ever a time that was really going to change. I feel like that was it. Like the way we do our work weeks, the working hours. And then I don't know about how LA is handling things, Heather, but recently New York City, like the electric bill, you live in Los Angeles. The summers are very hot for you I'm sure your electric bill is maybe a little higher in the summer. That's definitely the case in New York City, especially in apartment buildings that like don't have built-in AC. They're pre-war buildings. So like you're fucking running AC out of your little window unit, yada, yada. You're already spending a lot of money in the summer. Our electric company gave us a notice that for this month, and I think also through September, from the hours of 2 p.m. to 6 p.m., the charge of using power is doubled. Or there's like a, maybe it's not doubled, but a raised price.
Me?
Alex, again, will be on here to correct me. And I just, that was like a knife to my fucking heart that New Yorkers were not all immediately on the streets marching.
Right.
And like, but again, here I am sitting, not fucking leading any strikes, just like rolling over and ready to pay that in a way that made. And then it was a conversation that was brought up where I don't know how true this is, but I was told that there's been a movement, a tactic movement, that they're actually a lot of like, I guess the government, maybe it's state by state, I'm sure it's probably bigger and federal, is not down with remote and is trying to actually shift away from what's happened with COVID. And so that was something that was like brought up, which again is so fucking stupid because if that is true, working remote from home and using energy, there's no way that can be costing anyone more than these buildings that are using all this energy to cool things down. And but I'm also like, but there's also a tactic there of like people can't protest and strike if they have to go to work. And we saw some of the biggest like strikes and protests and movements happen during COVID because people had the time. They just simply had the time. And it is, there's just a lot of like loaded, tense energy. And I think people are not still done talking about the work week and how it sucks.
Oh, yeah, no.
It feels like they're just trying to hurry up and get us back into the fucking workflow. And I am wondering if we're going to see with this writer's strike another sort of trickle down effect, similarly to like I know that they're different things, but like the Me Too movement and how we saw that seep into other industries.
Totally.
I'm praying that this strike does
the
same.
I absolutely think so.
So sorry, Heather.
Thank you for saying all that. That's super interesting. And I'm so sorry. A fucking bummer. And let's all take down the government.
It really feels like that was an open window, right? Like COVID, when everyone had time off, and there was a part of me that was like, they got us again. COVID wasn't long enough. They're rushing us back into work, and we're not going to ever be able to change this. And I'm wondering now, though, I'm like, there's a different energy
shift. The astrology,
more people
I
are
think
aware.
Indicates that there's there are off, more Heather. Shifts to come. I think there's going to be a dramatic shift. Capricorn literally represents authority, structure, but also overworking. Like Capricorn is the energy of like working too hard. And Aquarius, I think, is way more the energy of working smart, being humanitarian about it, like bringing a sense of community.
It's not a lazy thing. It's just a like, let's have fun while we do this.
Let's
shit.
Take care of our humanness. Yes, work, like, because that comes first.
I'd rather work smarter, not harder.
Yeah, yes. It's all about taking care of our humanness. And that's how good work happens. But yeah, I 100%. Pluto's retrograding for the final time. And by next year, it's going to be in Aquarius, full steam ahead. And I think that the work thing is going to be one of the major shifts that we see. And yeah, I think that the actors went on strike, right, shortly after the writers did. And I was just listening to a podcast, one of my reality TV podcasts, where Bethany Frankel is talking about unionizing reality stars. I think it's going to be a trickle effect. Yeah. Wow. Like not just in the entertainment industry, though. I do see it spreading. I think I'm very hopeful. And I think the astrology is on our side.
It's in the fucking stars. And more people are talking about this online. And again, it could just be that it's what I'm already interested in. So it's being, you know, catered to me. But it does just feel like I just don't understand why we're not in the streets every day. But of course I do.
But
of course
I understand. We will be.
I don't think we're done.
I think early next year.
We can just see this shit so much clearer. Yes. And it's just a beautiful thing. And I was watching this one TikTok, Heather, where this girl was like, I'm a scientist. And she in quotations is like, and I believe in astrology. And she's like, the reason I put quotations around that is because the same way I'm a scientist. She's like, people love to ask me like, how are you a scientist? But you also
believe not a matter of believing
in astrology. And she's like, astrology. She's like, just the way I also just like believe in science. Like, I don't believe in it. It's observations of facts that, and like, it's just research and history.
Records. Yeah.
Of doing that research. Yes. And records of it. And she's like, the same way astrology
literally.
Is. She's like, whatever your spirit, she's a scientist, so she's fucking smart, gorgeous inside and out. I the energy I was like getting from her, and just also the way she so calmly like explains something
have her on the pod?
That I've never really would love to. Gotta re-look up the video to know her name, but I will say it because she was incredible. But she was just talking about how I don't think that because when Mercury, for example, is in retrograde, that it makes people go crazy, blah, blah, blah. She's like, I'm not saying I believe that because of where the stars are, that's causing someone's behavior.
That
right.
Rids us
right.
of our free will. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. She's like, but I can't deny the fact that historically we have records of where the sky is, where the stars are, what's going on with the planets, and that historically there's patterns and there's behaviors that happen when X, Y, and Z. She's like, so it's so funny to me when people don't, they like, people are, they, you never tell, ask someone if they believe
literally.
In science. Well, like, it's not something that you like believe or don't believe in. She's like, so yes, I believe in astrology, but that's not how I interpret
yes.
it. Or like, she's like, your belief system is your own business, and whether that's like God or spirituality or the universe, like that's a separate thing. Where the facts are the facts. Astrology has patterns,
yes.
and we can look
yes.
at the patterns, and
it's
we
a
have
lens
records
in which
and
to
there's
observe.
Just and we can
yes.
just yep. And I found that really beautiful. And I know we've said that before, and I'm sure it just sounds like I'm regurgitating
information
again. No,
but it's worth restating.
We need more scientists to come out about astrology. And I was talking to a friend of a friend the other night, drunk at the bar, just out having a good time. This person was visiting my friend from out of town. And as we're like talking and mingling, I find out he's a college professor. And it was so funny. The moment he said that, my like stomach dropped out of my ass, because I just been talking with this guy for like half an hour about astrology. And God bless him, he was a Virgo. So, you know, God. I probably came on super strong with my Pisces ass. But he was really engaged with me. And when he said he was a college professor, like a half hour later, I think my stomach dropped out of my ass, because I was like, damn, I really thought this person was like interested in what I was saying. But my judgment and my fucking quick to judge ass was like, oh, they're a college professor. They can't possibly be actually entertaining anything I'm saying, or like this poor person just sat there with their eyes glazed over and I thought we were having fun. Like, I think that's it made me in my head. And then he was like, oh no, like I love astrology, and I have a whole set, like side segment in my college course devoted to it. And I want to say like the subject he did teach was psychology. He was like a psychology professor, and but has a whole subsection of his course devoted to astrology. Because again, and he kind of had a similar, like, it's not a matter of if I believe or don't.
Yes.
Like, the fact is that there's human nature, and astrology shows us patterns of things. Like, it's that simple. And it was a beautiful moment
for me.
It was really special, because I had this moment of my own judgment and thinking, oh my God, a college professor, and I just talked about astrology with him. He's going to think I'm a moron and I'm never going to see him again. Oh my God.
Right.
You know, like I'm going through totally that panic of like, how am I going to let this person who I'm never probably going to see again know that I'm not a moron, you know? And then it was like, it was a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Oh my God. I love that.
And I just feel like a lot of us, we're leveling up. It just feels like there's a connection like there's never been. And I'm really excited for it. And yeah, it was just so funny how I was really down and thinking we lost our window of opportunity, y'all. If we were ever going to change the work week and the way we do things here, it was going to be the pandemic. And that's just
no,
simply not
it's
the
coming
case.
Back
it's
around. Trust. Yep. I'm telling you, when Pluto moves into Aquarius, huge major shifts. It is literally, if you look back at the records of when Pluto shifts into a new sign for good, there is always major transformation. But I agree. I think we are. I just like love how much people are really embracing astrology right now. And it doesn't feel like it's like a fad. It feels like there's a lot more people, smart people, who are really recognizing it as it. Because my whole thing is like, if people would just understand that it's not a joke, like it really is like math and observations. Like it's the mainstream that has given it this bullshit, like, reputation of, you know, if you're a Leo, this is what's going to happen to you this week, and these sweeping statements and this, you know, it's not what it is.
They're not. Once you get the whole picture,
and
I think that's exactly why it is hard. It's so easy to mock
if you're an idiot, and if you're close minded and you're just like refusing to,
which, like, God bless you.
Sure.
Maybe the next life. Like, again, it's like, I don't even. My energy isn't to convince someone
to
believe in astrology.
I
don't need
I do think
them.
The world would be a better
that's
place
not what you're
if we
saying
all
either.
Embraced it, but I don't want to shove it down anyone's
but
throat.
But I'm here to lead by example. Yep. I'm not wasting my energy trying to talk about it, because, like, I could do that all day and someone's going to be at a party and telling me all day how they're never going to believe into it. And then they're going to go home later that probably same night because they're still a little drunk, and they're going to look up their chart, and then they're going to come back to me in a couple months and admit that to me. It tale as old as time. But regardless, I think there's something beautiful about how the gateway to astrology as a whole is always someone's own chart.
Yeah.
Understanding. Isn't that not spirituality, or sort of the bigger messaging all the time, that you can't heal the bigger conscious collective if the individual is not healed themselves? Like, that is spirituality from like the dawn of time. That's literally Jesus. That's all of it. That's religion. That's everything we know to be true. And it's a beautiful thing that astrology starts out as this, like, oh, I know my sign. Like, I always knew I was a Pisces. And now there's a whole world of patterns that I can look at and see and understand. And there's just like layers and layers of this connectedness that, and I just find it's, I just feel like more and more people every day there feels like there's a level up.
It's so beautiful. I like think back to when I first moved to LA and was reading all of those Liz Green books and like really understanding all the layers of it, like took my breath away on a daily basis. Like I could cry right now. Like it really is like so beautiful the way it helps you look at the bigger picture and understand yourself better and understand others better and understand that we're all part of a very intricate web. It's like,
And again, I feel like the listeners aren't even who we're talking to. Like, I feel like at this point, if you're listening to this, you get it. But also, like, maybe you are just tuning into this podcast. And a beautiful little example that I will share, Heather, because I know we got to move on to these charts. If you want to talk about consciousness and like energy and how that shit is real, there was a scientific study for the doctors in the room, for the brainiacs, of these monkeys on an island, and they would, it's like how they would get food.
Yes.
Did you hear about this? Did I send this to you already? And like, it's like monkeys on an island. They have this like way, I forget exactly. I'm not going to explain this right, cause I know we're short on, I know we have to get moving, but like, basically it's like, they all have a way, these monkeys on an island, of how they get food. And then one monkey found a new way, just found a new way to get food and started doing it until slowly other monkeys started doing the new way of like, oh, we didn't know, we just always did it this way. But now you're showing us a new example. And there's this idea that the by the time the 100th monkey on the island gets it, monkeys on different islands with like no connection to this main island where this, with this started with the monkeys, we're doing the same technique on getting food using the new skill.
Collective consciousness.
Talk to me about
quantum
collective
physics,
like,
which I think is going to be major.
Bitch. Yeah.
We're here.
We're here. We're here. We're there. Ooh, we've got some spicy hot tamales. Some spicy peppers, some hot ones.
Yes.
Level 5 sauce. I don't know the levels. I'm kind of a puss when it comes to it. Like a level 7. Ghost
five
pepper
sounds right.
Yeah. Level charts today, folks. Let's just go ahead and get to them, Heather, because I got more third eye shit to get to.
Let's.
I got to freak the listeners out more.
Same. Yes. I have a long car ride after this where I'm just gonna think about everything we just talked about.
The Maya Rudolph.
But yes.
Fabulous. Maya Rudolph. Now, Heather, correct me if I'm wrong. You have a little personal anecdote with Miss Maya Rudolph.
I do. I was lucky enough to have Kat Barnett as
shouts
my friend.
Shouts out to Kat Barnett.
And she, shouts out to Kat Barnett. She brought me on to be one of the background dancers for the High music video, Little of Your Love, back when I first moved here. And holy shit, what an incredible experience. And then, you know, we're dancing for like 6 hours straight. I didn't even notice Maya Rudolph was like right
behind me.
Shout
out to Justin Zuckerman as well. That's right. He's
dancing
in
the same line dance. Yeah. I know Justin and Demery were especially like,
Demery was Jordy
Maya
in it as well.
When did this happen? And
wow,
she totally. Yes, she was. Yeah. But I remember they too
that's
were
exciting.
The most like Maya starstruck. And she was so chill, just like in her jeans. Their kids were, you know, walking. I think their kids were in the dance too, and they were way better than I was. And yeah, just so seemed so down to earth, so chill, like giggling with us, dancing, like didn't make a spectacle of her entrance or anything.
That's amazing. Yeah,
really
no,
chill,
she gives me,
time.
That's the thing. It's so fun, especially knowing that she's a Leo. Not that Leos can't be like down to earth, but there is something specifically about Maya that feels like you could be friends with her. And I think that's always something that people are always like shocked, or that maybe is what draws people to celebrities, is when you just do feel like you could chill with them or like vibe with them. Yeah.
I think all the Leos we've covered kind of have that quality.
The exact same way. But
oh, totally, sorry, totally.
Oh my God. Yeah. I always do this. I lost her chart. Maya Rudolph is a Leo sun. Oh, we don't know. We don't know her rising, but she is an Aquarius moon.
We don't know.
So again, those are both kind of like giving down to earth.
Yeah.
Let's just kick it. I'm the girl next door vibes in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. With that Aquarius moon and awareness of humanity and your place within the collective. But I think being born on a full moon, like she was, with opposite signs in the sun and the moon, is also always a challenge because, you know, they are opposite signs, even though they deal with the same thing. So she might struggle with like, I want to shine. I want to blend in. I want to be unique. And I want to be likable. I think SNL
was such a unique experience. There is something really... SNL, for whatever reason, especially like Maya doing comedy, it's like that's really interesting to hear, Heather, specifically because like I find that comedians a lot of the time don't really get like papped and maybe sort of like I don't know. The culture isn't as obsessed with them as like a pop star or like a musician or like.
Yeah. A pop star for sure. Right.
It's like comedians or a movie have this star, weird, big time movie star. Yeah. Way of being allowed to get away with still being down to earth and normal because like they're comedians. And that's something about like the art of comedy as a whole. This is always something that's like bothered me, for example, about the Oscars is that like there's always like a best. It always feels like it's like dramatic films that are getting awarded and not so much comedic ones or even ones.
That is annoying. I'm just kind of like, that is annoying.
If there's anything Shakespeare taught us, it's that comedies and dramedies are, is that what I'm trying to say? No, dramedies. No, because that's like a drama and a comedy combined. That's the word, right? Dramedy?
I think that still makes sense.
And does
though.
It mean just drama? Y'all get what I'm saying.
Yeah,
okay, my bad.
No, I think then it means like it has a little bit of
basically, Shakespeare's whole thing is that if the play ends in a wedding, it's a comedy. And if it ends in a funeral, it's a drama. Meaning they're the same. Like they're both important.
Right.
They're both relevant. And he wrote many. Honestly, he might have written more comedies. Yeah. I can't remember. But he wrote both. And I think they're interchangeable in that way.
Right.
And it's like the same conversation with like, you want to compare it to like country music and pop music. It's like, I hate country music, but I love pop. What? They're the same. It's literally four chords. Country, modern country today is pop.
No,
it's just
literally
by a banjo. It's, but anyways. So it always has bothered me that like the Oscars doesn't award that. That's always kind of like annoyed me just because I'm kind of like, when did we decide that dramas counted more? Or that's like award worthy, and comedy's not because it's funny.
Yeah, totally. And I think like the Tonys for like Broadway, I think there's just as many comedy best musicals as there are.
Yeah. Some of the funniest musicals are
the Hollywood's
are,
fucked up.
You know, Your Good Man Charlie Brown. No, wait. What am I trying to say? What's the one with the puppets?
Book of Mormon.
Thank you. Not good.
Oh, Avenue Q beat Wicked.
And Wicked,
Avenue Q
still
beat
has
fucking
funny
Wicked
moments.
For best
it's actually a very beautiful way of like, but Book of Mormon, I was going to say like that's like raunchy fun. Anyways,
combining.
My whole point is that I think we as a society have kind of deemed this as well, the same way the Oscars do. There's almost like this like idea that like if someone does comedy, they're not as intimidating. Being funny isn't as intimidating as like a serious actor, quote unquote, serious actor. But like what's so funny is that a lot of really good comedians or people who are funny work really hard at it. Take it very seriously. Like you're serious about your craft, even though that thing is comedy and might seem silly. There's a seriousness to it. And some comedy can actually make you think probably way more than a fucking drama would. So, you know, and I find that.
Definitely,
a lot of funny people actually end up being very good dramatic actors or know how to play real because they just know what is real. Yeah.
Yes, they're very or, natural. You know, can yes, do, if you can I agree. Do, I agree.
It's really impressive when a really dramatic person could play funny. I've always understood it, and I don't know if this is because I did theater. It's always harder to make something funny and to be naturally funny than it is to be and play dramatic. That's just always how I understood it. So it's always sort of pissed me off that, like,
oh, absolutely. Because, yeah, yes.
You get it. I'm talking in circles now. But my point is that I think that we as a society kind of do this with comedians. And I think that's kind of like Maya herself. Maybe I'm not. Maybe she boxed herself into that of like, you know, I want the there's something like really special to me. Because our society does this, I'm almost kind of like, I've always had this thought that I'm like, comedians kind of get away with shit. Like, or they kind of get this, the best of both worlds. They get to have right. the fame and the fortune, but they're not so much getting their lives. Mm-hmm. No one kind of cares as much because it's like, oh, they're a comedian. It's almost like you're not even tuning in anyway because yeah. being a comedian, a lot of times comedians do like share. I know that Maya doesn't do like stand up, but SNL must have been such a perfect, just knowing that from her chart alone. What a perfect environment for her SNL had to have been. Because I feel like a lot of SNL stars even, unless yeah. they've gone on to do movies and become a lot bigger, a lot of SNL stars kind of get away with like getting to kind of live normally, but then getting, you know, invited to all the cool parties and being in a lot of the cool rooms.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Totally. Totally, totally. And, yeah, from what I've heard of people who have been involved in SNL, they really talk about the sense of community and how fun it is to just like stay up late with your friends who are as equally as funny and smart as you are and to just like come up with stuff is like why it's so fun. And Aquarius Moon thrives on that sense of community. She actually has a grand air trine with the moon in Aquarius, Venus and Saturn in Gemini, and Uranus in Libra. So the ability to like communicate with her people and to use her brain to think of clever things, I think is very prominent in this chart. There's a flowing harmonious energy there. And then the Leo is not shy, willing to be bold and courageous with her performances.
And she's married to fucking Paul Thomas Anderson. Be silly. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I think a lot of Leos can laugh at themselves. Yeah. Oh, I was just gonna say, yeah, I feel like a lot of the Leos we've covered are like very able to like laugh at themselves.
There's like a self-awareness.
And that's another way that they seem very human and just, it's interesting because it's the sign of ego. And I think that the more mature Leos, because they have that awareness of ego, really make an effort to be like less egotistical than a lot of celebrities. Like I don't know, I speak for like Charlie XCX and Casey Musgraves a lot. Like I can tell that they're actively like trying to not let their heads get too big or to like laugh at themselves or like post.
There's like a power to that
bullshit on like, Instagram. I don't know,
and I think it's like like what you said, it's almost like because they're so aware of how big their ego is, there's almost like a way to disconnect from it and like a healthiness to need to make fun of myself a little.
Like, let me be aware.
And not let things get so like.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like just life. But yeah. No. I think. Yeah. And that's probably why they're
where
they're at anyway. Because it's like, well, it's just life. Like, go for it.
Being opposite like, Aquarius.
I was going to say, too, it's really interesting speaking on that, how she's married, like speaking of the Oscars and how it's Maya Rudolph. And then she's married and has children, Paul Thomas Anderson, who's like a very serious, like makes, you know, if you want to, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's pretentious, but in the
serious films,
his films, I would say fall into the category of pretentious Hollywood. I don't know if that means he is, but like, you know, and then what's his face?
Right.
What's his name? The guy who's in all of his films. There Will Be Blood. And he's in the Thread one. Oh, my God. What's his name? Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh,
he's one of the most pretentious actors you can ever know.
Oh.
But like, respectfully.
Oh, God. I'll just say when I see a guy on Hinge, be like, I love
boys
PTA.
Love him. Boys love him.
I'm
but
like,
I
next.
Also like what the fuck is the Thread movie called? Oh, my God. It's on the tip of my tongue. Thank you. Phantom. I wanted to keep saying
Phantom this. Thread.
Anyways, Phantom Thread. Paul Thomas Anderson wrote that because he got sick, and he said it was the what inspired that script was the way Maya Rudolph looked at him while he was sick. like the look in her eyes and like her concern and just how she was taking care of him.
Wow.
Made him create Phantom Thread. And I hate Aww. Admitting how much I did like Phantom Thread. But anyways, yes, it's yeah. So it's interesting that she has like, you know, he's got Aww, that's to cute. Me because he's married to Maya Rudolph. I feel like I don't really know Paul Thomas Anderson, but there's got to be silliness there. There's, you know.
Oh, right. Yeah, I'm sure.
Chaim's mom taught him growing up.
So down to earth. And,
that was yeah. the inspiration for Licorice Pizza.
Right,
It all just comes back around. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so
I
funny.
Love Maya Rudolph. I really do.
It all
she
connects.
Just gives
We're
that
one
vibe
consciousness.
Of like,
yeah.
You've known her your whole life and I've never met her. Very big of me to say. Mm-hmm. Oh, gorgeous. Gorgeous. Heather, shall we move on to our next Leo? We've got a lot to say about this one as well.
Yes,
let's
I'm really
jump
excited.
On
we do. We do. Yeah, I weirdly have a lot of knowledge on this person. Phoebe Bridgers.
Quite mainstream.
Who has
honestly.
Really become popular.
I just saw her live
recently.
For the first time. She opened up for Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. And she fucking was. It was really
I'm sure she
really
was amazing.
Fun. She's. I love her to death.
Yeah. Yeah, what a cool person. But I went down a hole. I got very obsessed with Phoebe when her first album came out. And I like studied her chart immediately and was so excited that her full chart was online. And I think it's so fun when, in the same way that I love studying reality TV stars' charts, I think it's Yes. really fun to study the chart of a musician yeah. who writes very personal lyrics and yeah. who kind of lets us into their lives in that way. And then to like, look at the symbolism of the chart. So I really appreciate that Phoebe's very vulnerable, both lyrically, but also in interviews. And when she talks about her life experience,
yes.
like all that
you
shit
told me about
Ryan
all that.
Adams,
I'm just like now having flashbacks too of like, you're the one who gave me a lot of the Phoebe lowdown in context. And like a lot of like understanding as to
mm-hmm.
like what her first
I feel
album
like,
was even about entirely.
Yeah, I feel like huge. Now she's like a star and she's with Paul and I don't think Ryan Adams is as
Wait,
much in the discourse.
Isn't she with Bo Burnham?
That shit was crazy.
Mescal?
Oh, I thought she was with that actor.
They
Paul,
broke. They were engaged.
The Irish, yes.
She.
And they recently broke up. Oh, Alex Nightingale was just here, and she was talking about him, her being with Paul.
The rumor
Maybe
is,
I'm
is
wrong,
that
Maybe,
they.
I don't know. I don't keep up anymore.
She's with Bo Burnham. Last I heard, I don't know if her and Paul got back together. Maybe Alex
Whoa.
Will let us know. But yeah, and then her and Bo were seen like someone in the, who was it? It was Keith Urban. Keith Urban was in the VIP tent with Nicole Kidman and is like just videoing himself and like a little selfie video and like Nicole Kidman's in it. And then in the background, Phoebe and Bo are like kissing or like really, they're kind of like intimate and they're in the VIP tent together. Yeah. And so it was like Keith Urban accidentally like let everyone know because everyone was like skeptical and wondering, but it wasn't like confirmed. Yeah.
Oh shit. Or
maybe they're back.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm probably yeah. so wrong.
Sorry. Yeah.
But
I was just more like she's with. I
well,
thought she
anyway,
was with Bo Burnham.
But either
which
way,
I
feel like
loving.
Ryan Adams. No, that's good. I don't want
to. They make sense.
Yeah.
To me, but
wow.
Anyway, sorry,
that
ahead.
Is cool. I'll look into that more.
Yes.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They do. And Phoebe's mom is a comedian. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she's born and raised in L.A. But yeah, okay, she got her start because this dude, Ryan Adams, who dated a lot of women in the entertainment industry, most notably he was
That's
with
right.
Mandy Moore and promised Mandy Moore that he would level up her career as a singer. And then it got very toxic. He... you know, abuse the fact that he was in this powerful position and could help her. And yeah, and Mandy broke up with him and there's a whole article in the New York Times about yeah. it. But the same thing happened to Phoebe afterward and he helped her record her songs
Stranger
on Lost in the Alps. Is yeah. that what it's the first album's called? Stranger in the Alps. Thank you. And Yeah, but then did the whole A Star Is Born thing and was like threatening to kill himself and like totally toxic. And that's what the song Motion Sickness is about, which is such a fucking good song. But Phoebe also lets us into her daddy issues, which I appreciate. I can also relate to a lot of her issues and a lot of her astrology. But yeah, Phoebe is a Leo sun with Capricorn moon, conjunct Uranus and Neptune, which I think is a big, I think Neptune conjunct the moon in Capricorn is like the disappearing father, but also Pisces rising with Saturn right on the ascendant in the 12th house. So she's very in the mystical. I also see the spookiness that's very her aesthetic with Jupiter in the 8th house, North Node in the 8th house, Pluto in the 8th house, all in Scorpio, connecting to her other planets. But yeah, and the fact that her moon is in Capricorn and she literally has a line in her song that's like, I'm not afraid of hard work. I get everything I want. And like, she really is, like, she talks about how she's so fucking young. Like, she's just hitting her Saturn return now. I think she's like 27 or 28. And she already has like written so much music and her music sounds so mature. And she's clearly a hard worker and very ambitious and knew what she wanted very young and was going to make that happen. But then it's interesting with Jupiter in the eighth, which is Scorpio's house in the sign of Scorpio. She got her expansion and Jupiter abundance through kind of going into the dark power battles with Ryan Adams and kind of entering the woods there ultimately gave her, it's so badass that she went through all of that. And then her most popular song, like the song that catapulted her and made her like known, is Motion Sickness, is like about him. And it's like so shady, but like so, you know, it's not you like $1,500 to see your it's hypnotherapist. Just so perfect.
Of course.
Why do you sing with an English accent? Like, so I guess you can't change it now. You, like, it's like, so like you clever. You can
tell it's from a place of like, I really care about you. Yeah,
it's so really gently fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my favorite song of hers. But yeah, this chart, I think, is as soon as I looked into it, I was like, oh, yeah, I see the savior complex. I see the daddy. I see the absent father. I see the mysticalness and the great ability to be a poet. I see it all. And the Leo, too. I mean, she's very Leo. She's very fun and like willing to shine. And she like pokes fun at the fact that her aesthetic is dark and depressing because she actually is like a light person. But
God, yeah, I love very, Phoebe very Bridgers. Dynamic. A lot of different energies. She's just so cool, too. Like, and again, like you just feel like you could hang out with the bitch and like
she is.
Pass a blunt back and forth, you know, like just hang out and talk about the shit.
Totally. Yeah. And talk about the universe. Her and mind. Like, this chart is also, there's a lot of trines and very harmonious aspects, a lot of energies from all across the chart coming together and harmonizing with each other. But one of the most difficult aspects she has in the chart that is, you know, the type of healthy tension you need to, I think, like work hard to become a successful artist is Saturn in the 12th in opposition to Leo Mercury in the 6th, which I think is what like makes her such a good songwriter, because it's that nebulous Pisces poetic lens with the work planet Saturn that needs to like bring form to that, in opposition with Mercury that's about conversation and language and communicating a message in Leo, which is about expressing something artistically. I mean, this is the chart of a songwriter. And Moon conjunct Neptune is like a double dose of Pisces, but it's in Capricorn that like wants to bring form to it. It's just like she, I think, was meant to have this career. And yeah, you can tell it just comes naturally to her. She's just like a really gifted songwriter.
She really is. And it's funny too, because like the Pisces parts of her chart, like again, a lot of these megastars or successful celebrities do have Earth undertones, specifically Capricorn. But like,
yeah,
they have a good grip on not just having the talent, but having the follow through to make people see it, and like the drive to believe in themselves and the work ethic to get it done.
Yeah.
But it's funny that we, the same way we saw that like a lot of the Sagittarians or like Leos are big like powerhouses or like diva specific, Pisces, like the one, it felt like songwriting was one that was the most popular, I felt like, for Pisces.
Oh, absolutely. I think
in terms of, yeah,
Pisces are poets, and so every astrologer, whenever you read about Pisces from like Liz Green or any astrologer, they say it is the sign of music, it is the sign of poetry.
Interesting. Because I feel like, yeah, because, and you said her Saturn is in, or I'm sorry, her rising is Pisces,
mm-hmm.
but then also she has Pisces
Saturn.
Saturn.
Yeah. Which they say you should look to Saturn to see like what you would want to do career wise, because it's Capricorn's planet. It's about working. And
then she has a Capricorn moon.
Right.
So that's all very connected.
It's all very connected.
You said this, I'm just now processing.
No, yeah. No, totally. Totally. But yeah, there is the Venus square. Is it square Neptune? Oh, I guess it's not quite square Neptune. It's square the moon, which is conjunct Neptune. But there's, I totally see the savior complex thing too.
Yeah.
And the absent father, and the, that's tough.
Whenever Pisces Neptune and the savior strong complex.
I know. It's like, so
just say you want to be Jesus.
I know.
Because he was a Pisces.
Literally.
As usual, Heather, you are the lighthouse. You are.
Oh, stop.
Just so full of, you're like, as we're doing this, I'm like getting flashbacks and being reminded that like, oh yeah, it was you. It was Heather who got me into Phoebe. And now I'm sitting here with all fucking three of her vinyls. Two are Stranger. Well, one is Stranger in the Alps, and then Punisher. Jesus, I'm so,
I know,
killer.
It's, I'm so Punisher. Bad at remembering album names. I could be like obsessed, it's with hard. The star, and I'm like, what was that called?
But yeah, what was that prominent thing they did?
Right.
Yeah, and then now I'm a huge fan of Boy Genius. I'm actually hoping to score tickets soon. But that vinyl was incredible to
They're
me.
Great.
I love it. Yeah, you are just the lighthouse. You're a queen. You're a star.
Oh,
thank you.
And you are.
I can't believe I'm finally doing our introduction at the end of the charts, but it's Heather Cunningham, folks, and I'm Miranda Lenski, and this is fire season.
Woo!
Whew. We are on fire, Heather. The world is on fire in the best way, except for Maui. Holy shit. Did you see that?
No.
There's just like a very, very not fun fire happening.
Oh, shit.
In Maui. And it's just, you know, you live in California. I used to live in LA. So like, we just know like the devastation that wildfires can like cause, but it's just, yeah, they are actually on fire. Not what we mean energetically, right, though. But it's so symbolic. Like I want to be really careful when I say that, because like, it's not cool when homes are lost and people are having to literally jump into the water. Like, people are literally jumping into the ocean because the island is on fucking fire.
Oh,
and like,
God.
Like, people are just like in the water. It's insane. But like, symbolically, like this season energetically, like that's like, it's exactly what it is. Like, wildfires, when they happen, like, they're devastating and it's destructive. But then it's like, the whole idea is that afterwards things can regrow and be reborn. Right. And energetically, we're trying to like embody that. But with that said,
yeah. Exactly.
Oh my God. All my love to Maui. I gotta cut that out, Heather.
No. I get what you mean. I think, yeah,
but yes, I just want to, I'm like, as I'm saying, I'm like, we are on fire. I'm like, oh yeah, wait, I'm just getting reminded that shit, Maui really is. But
oh, God.
Yeah, energetically, just what a time for rebirth and regrowth and just like new shit.
Mm-hmm,
I just feel so charged up.
Heather. Me too.
What's going on in the, yeah. How are you feeling with this? What are you seeing? What's the energy you're experiencing?
The energy, she ain't quitting.
and you and your Leo rising. So you have aspects of your chart that are in Leo. And again,
I'm honestly
experiencing heavier hits.
Fucking curious what's about to happen to me this week, because it's all my shit on my exact degrees. I was listening to the Molly McCord playlist and she's like, or podcast, and she's like, this is really gonna affect you if you have 20 degrees Leo, 20 degrees Taurus, 20 degrees Aquarius, or 20 degrees Scorpio. I'm like, so literally all of my planets. So we'll see, bracing myself. But yes, so this week, you know, we've been dealing with this Venus in Leo, which has been retrograding for the past few weeks. It's a long retrograde going until early September. So we're reprogramming how we feel about love, how we want to be loved, our values, how we do relationships, how we have our relationship with money, and all that Venus stuff, what brings us pleasure, you know, what lights us up in that very Venusian, pleasure-oriented way. So that has been squaring Uranus in Taurus and Jupiter in Taurus right now, which we will feel a lot for the next few weeks. But again, with this tension, it's trying to bust us loose from something. But it's worth looking at where Taurus and Leo fall in your chart, especially the middle of Taurus and Leo. If you have planets there, what house is there? That really is going to illuminate how these themes are playing out for you. But basically, Venus and Leo, Jupiter and Uranus and in Taurus, there's something that's creating pressure and maybe trying to bust us loose in those areas.
Yeah.
And Venus is going to, it's retrograding, so it's like going backwards, and it's going to go backwards into the Leo Sun on August 13th, this Sunday, which is supposed to be very lovely. It might be, you know, the Sun is ego and consciousness, so there might be something that Venus is like delivering a message to your consciousness around what is bringing you pleasure, what is attracting you next, what you want to love, all of that, shining a light on Venus things. Sunday is supposed to be a really nice, energetic, lovely day. And then August 16th on Wednesday, we have the Leo new moon, which is, and then shortly after that, I believe we move into Virgo. I don't know the exact date. It's usually around the 20th. But yeah, I feel like the Leo new moon is sort of the last Leo bang. That's really an opportunity to discover what lights us up, you know, what makes us feel fiery and passionate. And it's a new moon. So there might be, I don't know, something that like a new hobby or just be open to new passions and discovering what lights you up and what you want to work on next as we move into Virgo, where we have the opportunity to work and put our nose to the grindstone after this Leo passionate time.
And Virgo's fairly assigned to, that's about like getting your shit together.
If totally.
I remember correctly too.
And yes. Moving into, yes. Like, getting the Libra organized. Uh huh. Yeah. Uh huh. Wow. Like, and Mercury's about to retrograde through Virgo. Mars and Mercury are already in Virgo, so there is. Right. I've been feeling that energy already. But yeah, I think the Leo new moon is very about like, all right, what is making you passionate now? What do you want to carry forward throughout the second half of the year? You know, right. Put your work ethic into what lights you up.
Ugh, love it. Oh, we are just right on par for the course, folks. Thank you so much, Heather. That was what a reading, honestly. You just gave me the listeners, if I'm being.
I'm very tuned in right now because it's all my planets that are being affected.
I was going to say, how can you not be?
Yeah, so we'll see.
You have to. Yeah, you're feeling this. Gorgeous. Just beautiful. Yeah. The abundance is infinite. I can really feel it.
It is. It is. I and feel I'm it just, too. A
let's
lot of
spread
love.
The love, y'all. Yes. Mm-hmm. Spread the love.
Venus is very about self-love.
So self-love. Spread self-love.
Spread it, but feel it inside as well.
Yes. Embody it. There. Love yourself. Oh, I love you so much, Heather.
I love you so much.
I love this podcast. I always said, Heather, I always said there's hesitation. Heather, you hesitated. Just kidding. I think you're like literally glitching right now just a little bit. Like there's a delay from the Zoom. And it's funny how I was like, I'm laughing at myself being like, I love you, Heather. Yeah, are you going to say it back? No, that's not why I was saying it. You don't have to say it back. It's just how I feel about you. Listeners, you never say it ever to us ever at the end of this podcast. And yet I still say it to you. Love you, listeners. Selfish listeners. Just kidding. And spread the love, y'all. Infinite abundance.
Infinite abundance.
Love you.
Love you.
Bye.